Oh, it's so great. Keep that clip, because if the team implodes, then you can play that. But if you win a championship, you can play it too. It's great either way if you're in Philly. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. You can call us at 617-779-7937. And one of those voices, the lead voice there, is the voice of Joe Giglio from WIP, our sister station in Philadelphia, from the Hugh Douglas and Joe Giglio show. It's middays over there at WIP. And he's all afternoon been speaking to people of the city of Boston. Every single one of them should be sending an edible arrangement to Brad Stevens for gifting them Jaylen Brown, which ended up gifting them LeBron James, and has made truly one of the best stories in the NBA in a long time. My God, it's going to be a fun season. Joe, thanks for coming on, man. How the last couple hours been for you?
Oh, it's been incredible. And I'll be the first one to send that edible arrangement to Brad Stevens. Just let me know when we get off the air the address, and he'll get it on Monday. Because you're right, the Jaylen Brown thing put the wheels in motion. Guys, a month ago, I'm sitting on the air saying, you know what? The Sixers are so far away. Why not trade Tyrese Maxey for 4 number one picks? Like, they're screwed. They got no chance here. And now Jaylen Brown's in town. And here comes LeBron James, and the Sixers at this moment are the favorite in the Eastern Conference. What a ride it's been.
You made a great point. This kind of thing, there aren't like a lot of superstars that say, you know what, I'm going to choose to go to a city that, much like Boston, has one of the meanest sports media, the fans that demand the most out of you, and if you suck, they let you know it. Like most people, most athletes will shy away from a city like that. So for LeBron James to decide to go there, like, how weird was that for you?
So it was weird, though. So if you had asked me a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Joe, do you think he's going to sign with the Sixers? I would have said no. But, you know, we kind of danced this dance a little bit, guys, in 2018, when the Sixers had started their process and they started to turn it around. They cleared out max cap space. And that was when LeBron was leaving Cleveland to go to L.A. And he actually entertained, at least Rich Paul did, a meeting with the Sixers then. I never bought that. That, to me, was a joke. I thought there was no chance LeBron was coming to the Sixers back then all those years ago. This time, I didn't feel that. I thought there was something about this free agency that was different. And really what caught my attention was none of these spots really made any sense. You know, like, he already went back to Cleveland and won. What's the point of doing it again? He already did the Miami thing. That didn't stand out. Maybe Golden State to play with Steph. That would have been kind of cool. But it didn't really have this. It didn't feel it was real. So the whole time, I'm like, yeah, I don't think the Sixers, but if he really just wants to win a championship, if that's the objective this time, if it's not money, if it's just about a championship, this makes some sense. And there's no connection here that is unlike the connections before. So I thought there was a shot. And then when the news came down, honestly, my first reaction was, like, when the producer got my ear, like, we got LeBron news. I assumed he was about to tell me he's going to Miami or he's going to Cleveland. And I had to break the news to everyone. This thing was over. And when he said, no, he's coming here, I was like, holy crap.
Hey, Joe, what did Sixers fans think of the Jaylen piece before LeBron, and how do you think they will feel now that he'll fit in with LeBron? He's had a little beef, as I'm sure you know, with Bronny and going back.
Yeah, well, the Jaylen Brown thing was remarkable because that, you know, it's as shocking as this is, at least there's, you know, been breadcrumbs for 2 or 3 weeks, right? You know, Rich Paul and Bob Myers on the podcast and dropping hints about the Sixers. Shams saying every day Sixers are part of it, Windy too. So, like, we at least knew this was possible. The Jaylen Brown thing, one of the most shocking notifications I ever got, because, you know, first of all, we just assumed that Paul George had negative value. So, you know, when you kind of put the trade pieces together, it's like, well, wait, we only give up a first-round pick, you know, when you think about it, for Jaylen Brown. So people are over the moon about Jaylen Brown. You know, there's a little bit of, hey, are the Celtics pulling one over our eyes? Like, is he going to show up with one leg? Like, what is going on here? But no, people are excited about Jaylen Brown. And now, you know, you kind of connect the dots. There's no way LeBron would be here without Jaylen Brown. It makes that trade even better.
Hey, Joe, what is Joel Embiid's kind of reputation there? Because, I mean, you know, Jaylen Brown, after getting knocked out by your 76ers in the first round, said it was his favorite season ever. And we all know Tatum missed most of the season. And we all crushed him for it. And then Joel Embiid, after getting swept by the Knicks, says basically the same thing. How was that received? And how do people view Joel Embiid there in Philly?
Yeah, that wasn't received well, especially by me. He figured things out and played a half a season. But... Joel, it's complicated with Joel. You know, there's a lot of people that that like him and feel like, you know, he's been the one guy that's been the constant, right, for a decade here in Philadelphia. And he's obviously a great player when he's healthy, and he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He won an MVP. I'm on the other side to where, yes, all those things are true about his talent, but he has come up short so many times in big moments, and he never stays healthy. I think he's the one piece of this puzzle that everyone is still not really sure how this is going to work. Like, Maxey's excellent. Edgecombe looks like he's going to be a star, you know, as time goes on here. Obviously, Jaylen Brown now and LeBron. But there was a story, you know, through this process that maybe LeBron didn't want to play with Embiid. So I will believe that these five will play together the whole 2 years when I see the whole 2 years play out that LeBron is signed for. I do think Embiid is still kind of a wild card in this, to where I think LeBron's going to feel it out, and if he doesn't like his work ethic or the fit, I wouldn't be surprised if Embiid's not here these whole 2 years.
All right, we're talking to Joe Giglio from our sister station, WIP in Philly. And, Joe, before LeBron ended up, the announcement was made today where he was coming to the Sixers, I thought that there was a pretty good chance that with the personalities and the alpha, the way that these guys are alphas in Joel Embiid and Jaylen Brown and Tyrese Maxey, that this thing could implode. I just had a weird feeling that there was just not enough ball. Jalen's going to get in there and try to prove to the world that despite all the slander that he had before the trade was made, that he's still really good. But then Maxey's kind of the up-and-coming guy, and you got Joel Embiid, who's, you know, kind of the grandfather of the whole thing. And then I thought LeBron is probably the worst thing for a Celtics fan that could have happened going to the Sixers, because I believe he's going to be the veteran presence that when he steps in, you know who the alpha is. Like, he's the guy. He's the veteran in the room. How do you think they're going to be able to share the ball when all of these dudes are alphas?
It's a great point, and I felt something similar. Like, there was a combustible element to this before LeBron. I actually saw a stat right after the trade went down that if you look at the usage rate of the five starters that were now projected to be the Sixers starters, including LeBron, you know, it's a crazy number, to where obviously someone's going to have the ball less, or multiple of these guys are going to have the ball less than they just did in order for the math to work on this. So they have a challenge here. But I agree with you that LeBron feels like the perfect antidote for this, because who's going to tell LeBron no, right? Who's going to tell LeBron no, you don't know what you're talking about? And really, the Sixers need this, because I think they could have wrestled with each other for the basketball, for relevancy, to be the guy. But now LeBron has all this experience to go back to. And I think the one specifically that needs to accept the message is Joel Embiid. I think Tyrese Maxey has shown he will be he'll have deference for the guys around him when he needs to. Edgecombe is still so young. Like, he can score 14 points a game just on fast break. Like, he doesn't need the basketball in his hand. And Brown, you know, he'll be the 1A or 1B or whatever you want, and he's earned that. But I think Embiid needs to be the one to sacrifice the most. In fact, at this point of his career, really what he should focus on is being a rebounder and a defensive player and clean up down low. Like, he shouldn't want to or need to anymore try to score 30 points a game. Those days should be past him. And the examples are there for LeBron to use. Hey, I did this once, actually three times. I did it with Chris Bosh. He sacrificed, we won. I did it with Kevin Love. He sacrificed, we won. Did it with Anthony Davis. He sacrificed, we won. So the history is there. Now it's about Joel Embiid, I think, accepting it and being the player they need to be.
What are the people in Philly saying? Like, what are the callers saying when you made this announcement? What's their reaction?
Over the top, over the moon. I think it's a combination of two things. One, that the Sixers actually have a chance to win a title, which I think that ship had sailed in recent years. You know, that Mother's Day beating that we took up in Boston with you guys when Tatum dropped 50, that was kind of the end of the delusion that an Embiid-led team was going to win anything. Like, the last few years, no one really bought it, that they could actually win a title. So now it's back, which is great. And the other thing is, guys, players of this ilk rarely choose Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia's had a lot of great players over a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Most of those players, though, have been, you know, they drafted here, right? Like an Allen Iverson or, you know, Mike Schmidt. You know, you go back to the history of the city. A lot of great players, but most of them were drafted here. A few of them were traded here. This is kind of rare. I mean, historically, Pete Rose coming to the Phillies at the end of his career and helping the Phillies get over the hump is probably the best comparison to where this all-time player chooses this city at the end to try to get him over the hump. But there's not many that said, you know what? Yeah, I'm signing in Philadelphia. The excitement level, and I was on the air that day, reminds me of when Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies back in 2019. It's like, wow, this guy actually chose to come here.
Hey, Joe, I know you said negative value. What, if anything, does Paul George have left? And how dumb do your callers think Brad Stevens is for making this trade? I mean, it's got to be off the charts.
Yeah, I mean, people respect Brad Stevens, so they almost wonder, like, did he get dumb overnight? Did someone steal his brain? You know, like, what happened? Like, why would this happen? Look, Paul George, it's funny watching a player like him decline because you still see the glimpses of the player he used to be. Like, once every six possessions, he'll play lockdown defense. Right, and once every quarter, you know, one quarter a game, he'll hit three or four shots in a row, including a nice three, and you're like, oh, there he is, and then he disappears. It's almost like, you know, not to be crass, but like we all have had older relatives, right? And like the light bulb goes back on once in a while, and you're like, oh, yeah, Pop-Pop's sharp today. And then the next day it's like Pop-Pop doesn't know where his shirt is, right? Like, so that's Paul George. Once in a while you remember the Pop-Pop that was the patriarch of the family. He's only there once every few days, though.
Joe, it's funny. Every time I imagine this team next season, I don't even think of Paul George being on it. I just like, because to me, it's like, does it add much value at all? Whether he's going to be injured and hardly even playing. Matter of fact, sometimes I think about the starting five and Paul George isn't even in my head. Man, if you could have heard the calls when we found out that we were getting Paul George for a guy who was in the running for MVP last year, it's just. It's this season, man. There's so much pressure on these Celtics to just not just be awful. And I'm telling you, if the Sixers end up beating them in the playoffs or, God forbid, winning a championship, there's going to be people who are going to be burning their Celtics jerseys. It's really going to be that much of a backlash here.
Well, I can imagine. And now, you know, we have all these connections now. You guys got A.J. Brown. We got Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, the Phillies tried to get Alex Cora, you know, in the dark of the night while they were firing Rob Thompson, and then had to settle for Don Mattingly, which has worked. But we got a lot of connections going on with the teams right now. Yeah.
And Schwarber. Schwarber hits bombs every day. God, we miss him.
Miss Kyle, man.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, don't remind us of that one. All right, well, Joe Giglio, great stuff, man. We'll keep in touch throughout the season because, as I said, all of a sudden, like, now I want the season to start right now. This is the best plot twist. I mean, as far as just pure entertainment and chaos, give it to me. Absolutely give it to me. Joe, appreciate you coming on. You can listen to Joe Giglio, Hugh Douglas, and Joe Giglio right there on WIP Philly, their midday show. Appreciate you coming on with us, man.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Anytime, guys.
All right. That boy, the way he talked about Paul George is just
so true.
That was great, awesome. Pop-Up.
So true.
A guy who covered him and saw it, knows exactly, like a grandpa who just
every once in a while. He said negative value. We thought he had negative value.
Yeah. And they already have Mike Conley, who's like 8 years older than Paul George. I mean, my God.
Yeah. All right. We will take your calls right after this, 617-779-7937.
Well, it's Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson. We are at Fenway, at our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios. Teddy is going to see the Odyssey this weekend. So finally,
I'm pumped.
Stiz already has said he loves it.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful weekend, though. We got like 80 degrees on the button all 3 days. You sure you want to see a movie?
My first choice was the beach. What's the German beach in on the North Shore? What's it? Wingerschick?
Ravier,
I think.
Jeez.
Wingerschick. You're right.
Wingerschick.
Watch your mouth.
Probably my favorite beach.
That's Gloucester, I believe.
There. Yeah. And but you got to get a parking spot. And they were all sold out. So. You know, so we pivoted, and now we're going to go see the Odyssey. And I tried to get Odyssey in the IMAX, sold out. Mm. You know, the Chestnut Hill, where they bring you the food, sold out. So we're going just to a regular old movie theater.
That's how I saw it, Ted. You're going to love it. And I'm telling you, Ted, it's going to be one of your favorites of the year. I guarantee it.
Now, don't oversell it. I'm telling you, it's good, but not great.
It's the one thing, Ken, and when you said it the other day, you gave me your review, and I was like, oh, all right. You put Troy over.
I love Troy.
I like Troy, too.
Troy's better.
But you're the only person to give it any kind of negative review.
Well, I still gave it a 7.5. That's good.
Out of 10?
And Rich took my advice and has not seen it.
That's not a good score.
I want to see this movie because it's getting to the point, Ted, and I'm sure you're feeling the same way, where I hate when this happens, is that about a week after a movie comes out, all of these articles are being written about spoilers, about parts of the movie, and like just the headline spoils parts of it. Now,
the book was written 3,000 years ago. You can't spoil that book. Uh-huh.
Listen, I don't remember it. I think I might have read part of it when I was in high school, but I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea. But I hate that, so I got to see this soon. And so you're very smart to go see it this weekend before somebody ends up blowing.
I don't know if you told me this, but the one thing that I heard and it was put in my head that I'm a little But I'm a big fan of Matt Damon, but it sounds like there's an imbalance of Matt Damon. Just like 80% Matt Damon, which I'm a fan, but that's a lot of Matt Damon.
You better be. Yeah. And I know you want to meet him.
I do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, listen, I mean, he's a Boston guy. Every time he comes here, you know. Yep. Talk Boston sports. He loves the old Red Sox. It's weird. There's not an actor that I think I've gone 180 on more than Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Because I remember when Good Will Hunting came out and everyone was like gushing over it. I remember just thinking, I hated that movie. I hated it. I hated the fact that, you know, and now it's almost become a joke. But I always thought that whole like, how do you like them apples line is one of the worst scenes in any movie I've ever seen.
Oh, I thought it was a great line, no?
No, because so many things had to happen for that line to work. Like, he had to go, like, it was like, you know, hey,
deep
do you
MIT
like apples?
Yeah,
and the guy was like, why, yes, I indeed like apples. And he goes, well, I've got a girl's phone number. How do you like them apples? Like, no one says that. No one goes, sure, apples are tasty. No. Someone says, do you like apples? Like, get the F out of my face. And that's it. It's over.
Especially in Boston.
Right, in Boston. And that's the great thing, too, is that he was born good-looking. He was born super-duper smart, but his only malady was that he happened to be born in South Boston.
Well,
like, that's the big disease he has.
But that's one of the greatest storylines of all time, like the greasers and the socias. It's like the haves and the have-nots. And this kid was smart enough to be in the haves, and so I that's one of my favorite storylines is the underdog, you know, kind of being able to compete and surpass the elites, you know.
Great outsiders reference too, by the way. Nice job,
great,
excellent
movie.
But he wrote himself to be like the toughest dude, the coolest dude, the guy that gets the girl, the smartest guy. Like, he wrote that about him. And so you just watch it, just roll in your eyes. Dude, what will make us totally look cool to our Boston friends? You know, let's go to a bar and, like, be cool Boston and do the how you like them. Oh, they're going to go nuts. They go, that's my bro saying how you like them apples.
No. I can't believe you're crushing this guy. Just put him on the map.
It's insane.
This guy's on the map.
It is a little hokey, but the movie.
I have always, and by the way, this has been consistent. Like, you could even, when it came out, I hated this movie. I've always said it. But now, when I said I did a 180, it didn't take me long. Because then I saw Rounders, and Rounders is awesome, so underrated. Like, that is, I know a lot of people when they talk about Matt Damon movies, they go like some of the Christopher Nolan stuff, and then they even go to like the Bourne Identity all that.
Yeah.
No, but to me it was Rounders, and at that point I was like, you know what, he's all right by me, and now I really like Matt Damon, and I like Ben Affleck too, because he, if there's anybody that's, first of all, he's like pretty brilliant lately talking about like the business and talking about AI. He just sold his own AI company for I think $500 million that he'd been making.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. And but he's also a guy that's been through hard times, got to the other side of it, has talked a lot about it and how he got through it, and he seems like a pretty real guy for somebody who's lived in Hollywood most of his life.
And his mom just passed away. Rest in peace, Mr. Affleck.
That's right. So, yeah, I've done a total 180 on those two. All right, let's go to Clifton.
And on the Sixers. You've done a total 180 on the Sixers. You think they're going to win it all?
No, I don't think they're going to win it all. I don't. I do think that they're going to be better than the Celtics, and I thought that they were going to implode until they got LeBron James. And now I'm like, you know what? He's going to be so good for that team.
You know what? Joe from Philly, we just had on, agreed with you. He thought that was kind of going to be the calming kind of voice, too, that's going to settle everyone down. And
in the words of Wiggy, Brad Stevens, you dummy.
He's kind of right. Let's go to Clifton on line one. Clifton, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, good, Clifton. What you got?
I've got a question. Is it crazy to say the Eastern Conference is now the better conference?
At the top, the West has it, but depth, I think you're right. I think it's the East. If you include the Celtics, are the Celtics better than, like, Celtics and the Raptors, the Cavs, the Heat? Are they better than whatever?
The Rockets.
Minnesota. Yeah, Rockets. Minnesota. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting.
Denver.
It feels more balanced.
It's definitely more balanced.
Yeah. I mean, it was this time last year, it felt like it wasn't even really a debate. But now it feels like you can at least make an argument that the East is better. I mean,
well, plus the Knicks just won.
The Knicks just beat
Indiana. Almost won two. It took them to a game seven 2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, just by definition, when you had the team from the East win, the best team in the East is better than the best team in the West. And then if you go second best, you know, do you take a look at the Thunder, and are they – the Thunder are better than the Sixers if you want to think they're the second best.
But the only big shift from one conference to the other is LeBron coming from the L.A. to Philly, right? I mean, there's no – did anybody who else came from the West to the East of note? I don't think there is.
I don't think anything major. I mean, except for Kawhi, which that fell through. Yeah. Or that's not right. – is that even official yet?
No,
is,
not
and, official. And Giannis went from the Bucks to the Heat, so it's still – I don't know. But the Heat is actually legit now more than it's ever been. And Milwaukee was never, I don't think, even – with Giannis and Milwaukee, a real threat. So maybe that's the difference.
What do you think the tickets will go for, Rich, the first Sixers game here at the Garden? That's two of them, right? And maybe a third in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be awesome.
Yeah. It will be unbelievable. Playoff prices. It will be like the regular season game when Jalen comes back here. It will be playoff prices. And
the wall of LeBron shirts outside on Causeway is going to be spectacular. I mean, the LeBron hate is now back in a big way, right? If you're going to the games. Oh,
I'm trying to think of what the X-rated LeBron shirt is. I know there's Kyrie is a douche, but what was the LeBron one? Like, it's like, I know that there's one that just,
there's
for some
all
reason.
Expletives.
Yeah, there's one that just for some reason, instead of saying TD Garden, it's a word for breasts where TD was, which I
giggle every time I see that shirt, I'm not gonna lie.
I had a bet with my friend one time. I said, the loser has to wear that to their parent-teacher conference.
I love that T-shirt. Love that word. Can't say it.
It's, of course not. All right.
It's usually like FLBJ or LeBron is a B or there's like all those.
Is there a ton of hate for LeBron here?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, those shirts are still there every game.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen them. All right. I didn't know
that's
that.
Right. The LeBron is a bitch one. I've seen that one. Yeah. That one is – that's that they've sold that there. And Kyrie is a douche. I think there's worse LeBron ones that – because – every once in a while, I just laugh at just how brazen they are sometimes. It's the one right outside of where the Ace Ticket Studio used to be.
Oh, yeah. There'll be like five of them this year. Let me ask you this. If you could pick one sporting event to go to in the fall, assuming the Sixers game is the fall, would you pick a Pats game or would you pick Celtics Sixers?
As much as I love the Patriots, Celtics Sixers at the TD Garden is going to be insane.
It has to be the Sixers.
I think so.
Yep. I mean, because you had the Jaylen Brown dynamic. I mean, Jaylen Brown's going to be playing for the Sixers.
But you could get Drake May, Josh Allen, week 13, right? I mean, that's going to be an awesome game. You're going to have the Packers in. You're going to have Detroit in. Denver's coming in week 17. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of good games at Gillette.
But we got May Allen last year.
Yeah, but every year it's now it's up a notch, you know?
Yeah. All right. 617-779-7937. Let's talk a little Red Sox, man. You know what? We're about to start streak number two down at Fenway in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is, by the way, brought to you by New England Ford Dealers and Employee Pricing for All. You pay what we pay for the official vehicle, Major League Baseball, and that dirty water. So, damn it, let's talk a little Sox. 617-779-7937. Take your calls as well. Oh, it is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. Give us a call at 617-779-7937. Rocco on the Cape, line one. Talk to us, buddy. Talk to us.
Hey, I got a question for you.
You got it, bud.
I keep hearing stuff about a catcher from Colorado.
Yeah, Hunter Goodman.
He got like 32 home runs.
31, yep.
31. Why aren't they going after him?
The latest was Shea Langeliers. I think they are. I mean, his name has been out there. But
I wondered how you said that last name. Shea Langeliers. Yeah, he's got 23 home runs.
Yeah, so two righty catchers that are out there.
All right. Well, listen. Thank you, Rocco. We appreciate you.
It's a fair question, Rich. I mean, come on. The guys, you want to talk Sox? Here we go.
No, it's good. It was great.
How do you like awesome them apples?
Too. Well, on the screen, exactly. On the screen, it said, enough with LeBron. The Sox need a bat. See, I was hoping he would be a little angry. He's just like, what about this guy? But it's true. Like, right now is they got to hunker down. Craig Breslow's got to figure out what they're going to do with this upcoming trade deadline. All of us agree that this is a team worth investing in. If you don't, you have not been watching over the past 3 or 4 weeks. But Craig Breslow ultimately will be the guy to pull the trigger, and I don't have a lot of trust in him. He doesn't have a good track record here at the trade deadline. There's a lot of things that I give him credit for now that I didn't obviously several weeks ago, but the trade deadline is one where he's still got something to show us. Now, he was just on MLB Network, and he sat down with I don't know who he's talking to. Is this
MLB Now, and I'm not sure who the hosts were, but he looks relaxed. I mean, just to look at the video, he looks
so
like
relaxed.
He's in a great mood. I mean, when I guess why wouldn't he be? But geez, confident, like calm,
leisure king over here. He's just like,
you know what?
Back.
He's earned it. He's earned the right to be to feel that way. You know,
yep,
get a tattoo
absolutely.
And a cigar. I mean, geez, look
at him. He does look relaxed though.
He does, and here he is being asked about what the Red Sox plans are here at the trade deadline.
Well, I guess, like, you know, starting with pitching, you know, our pitching has carried a bulk of the weight for most of season. We need to be mindful of the workload demands that we're putting on some of our younger guys, but also hope that we can balance that out with guys getting healthy. But I don't think there's anyone who would sit in this seat and, you know, try to make a deep postseason run and say that, you know, they wouldn't explore opportunities to upgrade, you know, upgrade the bullpen, especially because the bullpen is so important in the postseason. And then I think when you look at our position player group, there's no secret that we've struggled to score runs at times. And, you know, recently I think we've seen some signs of life in the approach and the damage that we're able to do, and players deserve a ton of credit for that, and our coaching staff deserves a ton of credit for that. But you know, I think our position player group has a ton of flexibility because a bunch of our infielders can move around the diamond, a bunch of our corner outfielders are capable of playing center field. And so, you know, if we look to upgrade offensively, I don't think we have to pinpoint a particular position in order to make that improvement.
Well, that's interesting. At the end there, he's telling you we can trade for any right-handed bat. Doesn't matter where he plays. So that's revealing, right?
I don't mind
that. Say right-handed bat. But
well, I'm saying that's what they need. That's an obvious need.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm a fan of the ace catcher. He's right-handed. The catcher, Langoliers?
Yep, Shea Langoliers.
Langoliers, yeah. That, to me, that would be the guy. So we need a right-handed bat with some pop.
There we go.
Let's go to Tyler on line one. Tyler, what's going on?
What's going on, boys? So I think that Hunter Goodman would definitely be a good addition. But also, if you can't get him, maybe you could pick up like a Jake McCarthy or a Mickey Moniak. They're two left-handed hitters. Jake McCarthy's already been, you know, in the MLB for a couple years, so he's a veteran. He's hitting over 300 this year. He doesn't have, like, you know, a ton of power, but I definitely think he would be a good replacement if you could offload, like, Jaren Duran or maybe even Marcelo Meyer.
So Tyler, to your point, you know, I just, when you were talking, was kind of putting things into the trade calculator, and it looks like the rumored ask for Hunter Goodman right now is that you would have to send Connelly Early, Witherspoon, Marcelo Meyer, and Carlos Narvaez for Goodman straight up.
Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot, and that's roughly, I'm looking here, 21.5 years of team control for getting 3.5 back. You know, is that a move you make? That sure seems fairly expensive to bring him here, but you're right, the guy's got 30-plus homers right now, trailing only, what, Schwarber and Alvarez? I mean, he's a monster.
He's done it for 2 years in a row. He's a two-time All-Star. You worry about Colorado, but his numbers are better on the road. Mm-hmm. But I love it. We got trade books out and names being chucked around.
Narvaez, that's the first time I've heard Narvaez thrown in there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. If you're going to trade for a catcher.
Are we giving up on Marcelo? Marcelo's in any deal?
No problem with that.
He's not going to be like Hugo Gonzalez, where he's the sticking
untradeable. Hugo, I mean, don't even discuss Hugo. Hang up the phone if you mention his name.
I mean, that's how funny would it be if Brezel's like, you know what, Marcelo Meyer's where I drew the line.
it would be Brad-esque.
It is fun though that I mean, basically everybody is saying you got to do something significant, not a tweak, not just a little nibble here, but a significant move at the trade deadline is expected from this team right now.
Yeah, and I like that Breslow is talking about it. It's good that he's out there and admitting to it, right? I mean, that's great.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. How realistic do you think it is that they are going to make a significant move? Just now, I don't want to say just judging by his track record, because his track record's awful, but like taking a look at what's going on now, the vibes around the team, what you heard right there. Ted, first, if you had to guess what realistically was going to happen, what would you say?
Realistically, it's just it's gonna be relief pitching, it's not gonna be.
It?
There's five, maybe six teams that are clear cut potential sellers, and there's a lot of teams that are in contention. There's a lot of teams that are looking to upgrade. So it's just, and I don't trust. I don't trust Breslow to make a midseason trade. Like, he's better at doing trades.
Come on, guys. I'm at 98%.
Are you?
They're
really
making a trade for a bat, a significant bat.
Okay.
There have been four or five national reporters who have said they're going to be aggressive. Breslow's talking on the record.
They all say that every single year. No, we're supposed to get Joe Ryan last year. How'd that work out?
No. Now Breslow's job's on the line. They had the streak. The owners are engaged. They're making phone calls. I mean, you can't not follow that up with some kind of an action.
This time last year, you remember how engaged we were? We're so engaged in this team. We're loving this
Fleming
team.
Fleming texted me.
And what happened?
They're going to be aggressive. Okay. Fleming's never wrong.
Again, Fleming. What did he say last year at this time? He was basically guaranteeing they were going to make a big move. And what happened? Nothing happened. So I'm basing my decision this year on what happened last year.
I can put whatever percent I want on it. 98%, Rich.
No way, man.
They're getting it done.
Nope. Just get ready for
Thank
this.
You,
when the
Stiz.
Trade deadline comes and goes, and it's like, as Ted said, it's some middle reliever that they bring in here. It's a half measure. Just get ready for this. But I would also like to know that Trevor Story is due back any moment now, and we are hearing good things about Roman Anthony's progress. So that's essentially like making a big trade, because our team will be so much more powerful once they return.
He took 20 dry swings yesterday.
I mean,
you're
doing
kidding,
that.
Right? He didn't do that, right? But but Breslow did in that cut say, guys need a break. So because we got guys coming back that have been injured, so he's probably referencing Trevor Story. No, I don't know.
Hey, I got an idea. What about Joe Ryan?
Oh, hey, how about it? Hey, Will, call Will Fleming. Let's see Will on the phone.
There is some scar tissue from last year. I do remember there was a buzz.
Well, big time buzz, Ken.
About going to get a guy.
This team was so buzzy last year. Nothing happened. Nothing happened.
And how many times can you say that that's happened? Not just with Craig Breslow. It just always seems to be a disappointment, the trade deadline. Always seems to be a disappointment. And it's the same old thing. Well, you know, it takes two to make a trade, and just there wasn't enough out there, and we didn't want to give up some of our greatest cars.
The owners that are still here traded for Schwarber 1 year. It was Heimblum, different GM. In 2018, they got the Steve Pierce deal. They got Nate Eovaldi, two key pieces that propelled them to a World Series.
Yeah, right.
But they remember that is what it took to win a title. So if they feel like they're close, they have a track record of going out and getting pieces that put them over the hump. That's
you know
evidence.
What? Just like today, when you guys, the first thing that came out of your mouth was Rich, you were so right the entire time about LeBron James. If that happens, Ken, I'm opening the show with Ken. You've never been more right in your life. I'm saving that take because I am ready to give you your flowers on that one, because it just seems like it may not happen. All right, 617-779-7937. LeBron and Jaylen Brown are together, and how joyous is it that apparently Jaylen Brown was one of the biggest recruiters of LeBron James. That's fantastic. Also, I have a question to ask Ted about Patriots camp. This is something that I wanted to ask you yesterday, and it's something that when I think of the value of players, as to like Christian Gonzalez and some of these injured players and Gabe Backus, it really comes down to one stat for me, and that's something I want to ask you about, Ted, and we'll get to that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shirtley, Ken Laird. Three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. And Patriots camp has started. Christian Gonzalez has shown up. We don't know how much of whether he's going to end up being a full participant. I know he was there today. But it's going to be interesting to find out what they're going to do with their contract extension. And Ted, we were talking about Christian Gonzalez a while back. And you used a gauge or a stat to express how valuable you think Christian Gonzalez is to this team. And to be quite honest, it's the most important stat, and I have never heard anyone really use this. Like, take a look at it. Now, it's one that, it's not quantifiable. It's just, it's an expert's opinion. But I love this stat more than any other one. Matter of fact, there's WAR, there's WAR, and OBP. Yeah. This is the TED, all right? Yeah. This is the TED stat. And that is, how many wins is this player worth?
Yeah. I came up with seven guys that are in the plus for wins above replacement. So there's seven guys that I think actually contribute to wins on this team.
Wow. See, I love this because it truly helps you break it down to the essence of how valuable these players are. And you're right. Yeah. There's the majority of these guys are going to be a zero. Hopefully there's not any negatives there. But there's absolutely a handful of guys that I believe, and it looks like you believe as well, are, if they're gone, that's worth a game or multiple games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about GWAR? GWAR, gut wins above replacement.
There you go, Teddy's GWAR.
Can I tell you what, can I say a name and then see if you guys, and then you guess what, how many games they're worth and compared to what I came up with?
Ooh, yep. I like that, Ted. All right, start with a name.
Okay. Let's go with.
Now, what's the scale here? Like the greatest player in NFL history, what would Brady be worth?
Tom Brady is worth. Seven games? Brady's the greatest.
I'd probably say that. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. So let's start there. Let's start the quarterback position. Drake May. How many games is he worth in wins to this team?
If they hadn't traded Milton, God, it would be so.
Oh, Joe Milton, there we go, baby. My boys in Dallas can't stand Joe Milton.
Okay,
but anyway,
I'm going to go five.
Okay, what do you think, Rich?
You see, if Sean Stellato, because he's the guy, right? He's your backup, right? Not Sean Stellato. That's the agent of.
That's the agent of the backup, Tommy DeVito.
He's a bigger star than Tommy DeVito.
See how much you miss Milton?
That's right. If DeVito is your quarterback, this Patriots team is winning six games. I'm just gonna say he's worth five games. I'm gonna say that he's worth five games.
I think it's closer to what Ken had. I have Drake May being worth six and a half wins. Six and a half wins.
That's awesome.
All right, so let's go to the what a lot of people think is the second most important player. And by the way, 6.5 wins, that's in, at his salary, is easily the best value of any player in the NFL. So Drake May, easily the best value. Gonzo, what is Christian Gonzalez worth in your opinion, Rich? How many games?
I'm going to say two.
How many wins?
It's two wins, and because I know we discussed this, and it just felt right. I think that Christian Gonzalez is worth two wins.
What do you think?
It's much more than that because he missed the Steelers game last year. The Steelers beat him. We've seen the evidence straight up. In fact, I rewatched the wild card game, sick brag, the other day, the win over the Chargers. Gonzalez was so huge in that game, the ability to play man and have an extra help to monitor quarterbacks. He was one-on-one with Keenan Allen in the end zone early in the game. I think Gonzo is also a five.
Oof! Wow. I got him at 2.5. I bumped him up half a point. I had him at two. I had him at 2.5 now, just because the pass rush hasn't gotten much better, and I think he's just so. Boy, for a cornerback to be worth five wins, he should make $50 million a year. Then that's what he. that's what he should be. All right. What about Will Campbell? Is Will Campbell worth any wins in your opinion, Ken? What would you say, Ken?
Negative GWAR?
No, he's not. I have him as a positive. So
really?
If you think he's negative, then he's
no.
He's,
I mean, I think they were. It's a zero. I mean, they were as good without him as they were with him.
And
when they if we're talking, Lowe step in, and it was like they were.
But
fine.
But his okay. It's just in the importance of that position.
Yeah, I get it.
If he's playing good, he's worth what?
I mean, maybe a one. I don't know.
Rich.
One sounds right. I think that
I got him at 1.5.
Okay,
I got him one and a half. So you guys are pretty much there. Let me ask you, what do you think about Marcus Jones?
Ooh.
How many wins is he worth?
Tough one. Best corner in the league, also a good returner. I'd also go one and a half.
Yep, I'm going one on that one too.
I got him at one game. He had two punt returns last year. He averaged 14.3 yards per punt return, which by the way is the best punt return average in the history of the NFL with however many returns. So Marcus Jones, very valuable. You can almost make an argument he's even maybe worth more than one game, but that's still a lot for a slot corner who's a punt returner. All right, what about Milton Williams? You guys
– ooh, I love Milton.
Milton?
That's a good one.
Milt made the signature move at the end of that Chargers win at home, the little sweet move, and just put the nail in the coffin, and he is a disruptor. I'm going to go 3.5.
I'm going to go one.
I got him at half a game. That's an interior defensive lineman who doesn't sack the quarterback.
Well, he does sack the quarterback.
Not
he did in that game.
Not at that high rate. He's not
a,
like
he's an Aaron Donald-esque player.
You are so generous with your wins.
My
man.
Word,
Milton Williams. I got him for half a game.
He's elite. He had three and a half sacks.
That's like saying Peyton Pritchard is a Jalen Brunson-esque player. I mean, let's kind of calm down a little bit on this.
All right, a couple more. How about Borgalis? You guys think he's worth any wins above replacement?
Good boy.
He was the only kicker to have multiple kicks over the over 50 yards that he didn't miss one 50 yard. He had four. He was 4 for 4 of kicks over 50. No other kicker had a perfect rating over 50, but Borgalis did. Rich, what do you think he's worth?
Dude, you're going to hate me for saying this, but I think two. I think having a great kicker like that is so underrated, man. Two games.
What do you think, Drew?
I mean, I'm afraid to offend you because I know you're personal friends with Vinatieri and you're headed to the Hall of Fame ceremony, but I would go zero. I mean, there's a reason you pick kickers last in fantasy football. Just get another kicker.
Well, they drafted him, and so there's value in that. I got him for half a game. Rich got him for a game. I got him for half a game. So let's go last guy, A.J. Brown. What do you guys think A.J. Brown is worth?
Very interesting. This one's interesting. Rich, you go first.
Okay, I would say that because he's there, they're going to be so much better in the red zone, which was a huge problem that they had last year.
Ooh,
I say,
I like
let's
that.
Go, baby. I'm going to say 2.5 games. 2.5 games for him.
See, the problem here is they were the second scoring offense in the NFL last year. I know the schedule was bad. Everybody will say that. Cam Newton says that.
Yeah.
But how much better can you get? They were excellent without him, so really, what are we talking about here?
They were not good in the red zone.
Nope, they were awful.
Well, again, they scored the second most points of any team in football. So
I know. And just see how many points they left on
now, in the Super Bowl, they didn't. So
They played harder defenses last year than they did offenses. This year, it's flipped. They're going to play a lot harder offenses than they are defenses this year.
Because of the Super Bowl, and they had, I think, their first 9 drives, they were 3 and out 5 times.
Yep.
It was just a mess. I'm going to go 4.
Well, that's a lot. You're generous. I'm on with Rich. 2.5 games, I think,
yep.
Which to me I think is a lot. So A.J. Brown wore 2.5 wins for this team. So obviously Drake May is I think, the worth the most. Gonzo and A.J. Brown are similar. And then you got Marcus Jones, Will Campbell, and Milt Williams kind of in that 1 to 2 games.
But you know what's fascinating is Rich, the expectations for this team. ESPN did a bunch of chatter about the Pats this morning, and Hasselbeck was like, I think they're going to be a better team, but then they pushed him on who's going to win the division. He's like, Bills, are they going to go in? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, they're not going to go very far. It's like how everybody feels like they're going to be better, but worse. I don't know how you reason it in your brain.
Oh, you don't? It's because of how hard the schedule is.
But fine, but if you don't go further in the playoffs, you're not better. It's just not possible to be better if you lose in the first round or you don't make the postseason.
Yeah. Look, I mean, the AFC is probably going to be a lot better than it was last year.
Is it?
You know?
I mean,
I think so. I mean, I think the Chargers got better. I think the Texans got better. Kansas City's not going to be as bad as they were last year. Denver should be still up there again. I mean, they're talking about the Bengals. I've never heard Joe Burrow so excited about his chances this year.
But we say this every year. It's all the same teams, and everybody talks up the Bengals. They talk up these teams, and last year you beat them all.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike Vrabel.
Ah, that's a good one. What is Mike Vrabel's worth in wins for this team?
3.
You might be right. I'd say 2 to 3 games.
Rossini might be -5.
If ooh, hey,
yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with Ken. I would say 3. I think he's worth 3 wins.
You know what? Last year I would say that. Maybe it's a little bit less this year, but last year, yeah.
But it is because you compare it to Mayo. Like if Mayo were the coach last year, what would the record have been?
Egads.
Sorry, Gerard.
It's McDaniels too, but still, it's like, wow.
Ted always apologizes. What are we talking
about? I do. I feel bad. We play the same position, crying out loud.
Man. Gerard's a good dude. He seems like a good dude.
I know, he is a good dude.
Yes, but to your point, you can't talk about how, you know, his 10-year coaching without going, hopefully, he gets.
That's a good question. I just don't want to get into it now.
Hey. That's right, of course. Thank you very much there, Gerard. 617-779-7937. We will take your calls. We'll be back in 2, and let's get to some of this LeBron stuff that's coming out now with Jaylen Brown. I can't get enough of it. And you know what? We're getting more and more info on this. And right now, I've got to be honest, the Celtics are embarrassing themselves. The Celtics are embarrassing themselves and doing stuff on social media right now. It's like, just step back. Just take
what?
A day
they
off.
Are? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Just step back. Take a couple days off. Stay off social media for a little bit. Let them spike the football without playing a game over there in Philly. You just stay away for a while, and we'll get to that right after this. 2 minutes, we'll be back.